Welcome back to the preview show, folks. That does mean that the League of Ireland is truly underway. The games have been played. And we're going to talk about Derry City's opponents down in Inchicore, St Patrick's Athletic. Of course, had a favourable result, a 1-1 draw with Dundalk. And I have guests on the show tonight, Derry Journal's Kevin McLaughlin and former Derry City player Gareth McGlynn. And just to let all the listeners know that we are doing this in adherence to all the protocols out there, we are doing this by Zoom, and it's recorded ahead of the St Patrick's Derry City game at Inchicore on Monday evening. So a big welcome to the two fellows for joining me. Thanks for doing so. And, you know, we don't like looking back, but we've got to reflect on Friday night's game. Kevin, and you were in the stadium. It was a terrible display in all aspects by Derry City. And, you know, the manager gave out his thoughts and feelings after the game. It was just terrible, wasn't it?
It was shocking. And it was actually concerning how bad it was. And to be fair to Declan, he held his hands up and he says, "I take the blame for this. The players didn't perform the way I want them to perform, both with or without the ball." And it's the without the ball that probably concerned me more, because Sligo seemed to be wanting more. There were more hunger, more desire. Derry were the home team. Yes, there are no fans. We know that. But there are going to be no fans anywhere. So it's all about hunger and desire. And do you want it? And Derry didn't show it at all, let alone didn't show it enough. They just didn't show it, period. They didn't have a single shot against McGinty in the full 90 minutes. I'm not saying Sligo were world beaters, but they were fully justified in their victory, and they just wanted it more. And that, as I say, is worrying times for Derry.
Worrying times indeed, because it's one victory out of five, and I know it's been stop-start, but it's been stop-start for everybody. And Gareth, you know, things just didn't go right for Derry. Was it the break? Was it the players not clicking? Have you ever been in a situation like that when things haven't gone too well? But, you know, the Derry players coming off just looked dejected. They knew what had happened.
Yeah, I mean, the first game back, the players were probably out of football for 3-4 months. And so they should have been looking forward to it. They should have been hungry. There should have been a desire there. And you know that that's what you're going to get with a Declan Devine team. So I would say that was probably the most disappointing thing. If they had of shown the desire and got beat 2-0, you probably could have took it in the chin and said, you know what, very, very strange circumstances, no fans. It's a home match, but it doesn't feel like a home match because we've got no fans. We'll just move on. But as you say, not having the hunger and the determination to go and put on a show, especially because there have been a lot of people watching the streaming, and so that side of it, the players should have been ready to rock and roll. It will be concerning, but the good thing is when you put a performance in like that, you've always got a game coming up, and it's now Monday night, so they'll be wanting to get out there and put things right. We do. I remember the time we had a break. I think it was 2-7, 2-8, and we struggled to come back as well. After it is strange, especially if you're in the middle of the season, it's very difficult to keep your fitness, your sharpness to the highest level. But again, it's no excuse, because Sligo would have had to do the same, and the other teams as well. So I just hope it's a blip, and that they can put things right now tomorrow night.
Well, I'll stay with you, Gareth, because have you played in a game like that where you've come in and you've known that not everybody has performed? I'm talking about the entire team, maybe not one or two individuals, but the entire team. And the manager looked absolutely, I mean, disgusted. Disgusting was his terms in the after-match interviews. Have you ever been in that situation where you sat down and then you have analysed the game as players and thought, right, this is what's happened, we have to turn this around? Has that happened to you?
It has. Early on, we had a few times like that. It wasn't going well. I think it was 2001 or 2002. We went on a 9-game without a win. And you just do it. You just have to sit down. It's painful, but you just sit down, you watch the videos, and you take it in the chin. And every player has got to look at themselves rather than pointing the finger or trying to put your finger on. They just look at yourselves, get yourself right, and make sure it doesn't happen again. But it's not as easy as that. And the only people that can do it are the players and the management staff. And listen, I've full confidence that they'll go on Monday night, which will be a tough game. Inch of course, a great pitch. It's a nice wee ground. I know there'll be no fans there, but it's a great game to come back with. There'll be a little bit less pressure if playing away from home, and it might suit them a wee bit as well. But again, St. Pat's will be up for it again after a one-all draw with Dundalk.
Well, Kevin, Gareth called it a blip. Would you be happy to call it a blip, or are you a wee bit more worried?
No, I'd agree with Gareth that definitely it's a blip, you know, but it's a blip where, because the season has been stagnated, you know, you first game in 4 months, then you sort of have to look at it and go, right, look, you know, put it right now on Monday night. But it's because, and to be fair to Declan, and he was the first to say it too, 4 points from 15 isn't good enough. And he knows that himself. He was the first man to say that. And yeah, also, the goals that they're conceding to just isn't good enough. They know themselves. They need to get the defensively. They're giving away stupid goals. So they can sort of nullify that and be more creative too, because it's a creative bat too. They're not creating any chances, and that's what you sort of have to look at going forward. And going forward, they don't look as if they are. So it's just changing things around. And he's right too, Declan was saying that, you know, there are 4 players, they come in, 4 new signings. They give more energy to the squad. You get them on competition for places. So it's the same type of things. Even all night, you look at the bench and say, your defenders are young players. He doesn't really have anything. They go and change it. So sooner rather than later, these boys that are in quarantine can get over the quarantine and get playing again.
Well, that's it. let's get them in. Let's get them playing. That's the Sligo match, reflected on, dissected. And as Declan said, post-match, that's it. It's in the past. Got to look forward. The next opponents are St. Pat's. The Saints, as I said at the start of the show, have a, you know, they're up there in above the area, and they're producing some good results. And as Carol said, it's going to be tough. What we're going to do now is we're going to listen to what the manager has said ahead of the St. Pat's game. Our man, Patrick Cook, he caught up with them earlier on.
Declan, what's the team news ahead of tomorrow night's game with St. Pat?
We're still obviously missing a few of our players due to quarantine rules, and that is a big loss for us. You know, I think the likes of Akintunde, Hamill, you know, Ibrahim Mite, and Jake Dunwoody will certainly enhance this group whenever they're eligible to play. Akintunde's free to play on Monday, so he'll be a welcome addition to us. But, you know, on that, I just hope that everybody else is doing things the right way. I hope every other club is doing things the way we're doing ours. The one thing I'll say about Sligo, of course, they want to play junior, but they have actually done their business right as well. So I just hope there's a level playing field throughout the league in terms of when people come into the country. But, look, we'll be working off similar panel day Friday night, and that's fine because I think, you know, we're all hurting. We all have to make sure that we step up to the plate on the back of what was a bad performance. But I'm still confident this group of players have enough in them to go to St. Pat's and get a favourable result.
Did you sit down and have a chat with the players after Friday night to see where they're at and know what's in their heads?
Listen, I think you've got to give, you know, players are very hurting as well. You know, every single player that's at this club put a lot on a daily basis. They were really hurting on the performance on Friday night, as we all are. But we got to also learn from that. We got to move forward. There's no time for feeling sorry. We know we're going to get stronger when the new players are available. But this group of players, you know, they are really looking forward to the game on Monday. We've trained really well today. We were on yesterday, broke the game down from Friday evening. And as I said earlier in the week, you know, you have no time to actually look back here. Now it's all about looking forward. And we are certainly looking forward to going to play a League of Ireland game in Inchicore on Monday night. It's something we have to embrace. We've been away from football for so long that when these big games come up, you've got to make sure that you're looking forward to it. And there's absolutely no doubt our group of lads are.
Looking ahead to that game, Declan, what is your thoughts on that game going into it now on Monday night?
We're coming up against a good side, but I honestly, genuinely think that we're a good side as well. I think we'll go down here and we'll have a bit more grit about us. I think we'll be, you know, we're under no illusions. It's going to be very difficult. They're going to probably have a new signing in Georgie Kelly available to them as well on the back of a favourable result and a good performance at Oriel Park. So, look, every game this season is going to have to be treated on its merits. It's about making sure when you land at the ground that you're really up for a fight. You're up for a performance. You want to make sure that you leave everything on the pitch. And as I say, look, that's our sole target, is to make sure we go down here on Monday night and give a good account of ourselves, because, you know, as I say, everything on Friday was unrecognisable for what we want to be. But as I say, we're ready for it, we're looking forward to it, and, you know, let's see who comes out on top.
Look, going into the game, though, up after St Pat's is Shamrock Rovers league leader, so it makes a St Pat's game more of a six-pointer. You know, it's a tough start to, you know, getting back to football.
I genuinely haven't looked past St Pat's, and I haven't looked at St Pat's until the game was over on Friday night. So Rovers can, that's on the back burner. There's absolutely no thought process on the Shamrock Rovers. Everything is going to be concerned with us as the next game. St Pat's, we've looked at their game a couple of times over the weekend. We have to find a way that we can beat St Pat's. St Pat's have to find a way they can beat us. And it's as strategic as that. We have to make sure that we perform to our levels. And the only thing on our mind at the minute is going to Inchicore, and whatever will be after that will be.
You took Ali Gilchrist off on Friday night and your dead calf. What is the latest on Ali?
Well, he took a bang. It was a dead calf. Hopefully he'll be recovered for Monday. If not, Mark McChrystal, come on, was exceptional. Absolutely exceptional. Mark was probably the best player on the pitch on Friday evening. So if Ali's fit and ready to go, brilliant. If he's not, Mark comes on and does a job. Happy with the replacement, if that's the case. We've also got the option of Kieran Cole coming playing centre-back. We have Darren Cole very close to resuming playing as well. So, listen, once we get all our players available, we will be all right.
You brought a young lad on Friday night. I think that's maybe the sixth or seventh youth player you've brought through in Young Ferry. You must be delighted with the way he put himself around on Friday
night. He's a very good player. Look, Patrick Ferry's a very talented young lad, but he's 17 years of age, and we'll not put untold pressure on him. It probably came a bit quick for him, but when you look around the squad with four or five players unavailable on Friday, it presented an opportunity for Patrick to come on, and he's certainly done quite well in the game. He works extremely hard. He's a very good goal scorer at his own level, and again, as I say, look, he's not the only one. There's a young lad, Michael Harris, here. There's a young lad, Evan McLaughlin, here. You know, Oren McLaughlin's here, only 16, 17 years of age. Jack Leamington from New Buildings. We have a lot of talented young players, and I've publicly stated over recent weeks that is the lifeblood of the club moving forward. But at this moment in time, we have to be careful when we put them on and put them out.
I'm hearing good things about one of your recent signings, Jamie McAtoney. He'd be a very good addition to the squad, fit for the strikers option.
Absolutely. James is a great lad, a really great lad, really honest lad, and, you know, his work ethic's really good, and he's a powerful boy. You know, but all these guys are good. All these guys are good. Jake Dunwoody's a real talented player as well. He's a real good player, training with Stoke's first team for most of the season. You know, so he's going to be a big asset this. Big Ibrahim will be a great asset for us in terms of his work ethic and ability to put people under pressure. And look, when we get Adam Hamill fit, he's going to be very good for us also, because he's got absolute quality. We just have to get these guys up to speed. First of all, get them passed with their quarantine. But listen, they'll be brilliant additions to us moving forward.
Thank you, Darren.
Thanks very much indeed, Patrick, that posing the questions to the manager, Declan Devine. Declan Devine, in his interview there, says, Gareth, that the squad is hurting, but they're looking forward to this the St Pat's game. And, you know, Declan always comes out, he always sounds positive, and, you know, he's looking ahead. He's not looking back anymore. And as he said, he's not even looking forward to the Shamrock Rovers game, totally focused on St Pat's, because it's a difficult encounter.
It's a difficult game. It's always a hard place to go, but he's right, especially with so few games now after the restart, that they literally have to take it every game as it comes. Every opponent will be challenging. Everybody will be looking for points, because with so few points available over the 13 games, it's vital that they start picking up points. And Kevin just mentioned it there. If it means that you go and grind out a 1-1 draw or a 0-0 patch, or even scrape a 1-0 or 2-0 win, then that's what you do. But you got to get positivity back into the dressing room, get players' confidence. And the four new signings, I know they're not eligible to play tomorrow night, but even having them in and around the place and the confidence that will bring to the players playing, and it'll give them a bit of a kick up the arse as well, saying, listen, lads, if you put in another performance like Friday night, when these four boys are ready to rock and roll, they're going to play and you're going to be sitting watching. So it's a good that way. And then you've got young boys chomping a bit at the bit as well. Throw them in there. Let's see what they're like. Because it will take Friday night, he will have learnt a lot about a lot of players on Friday night, but he'll learn even more now on Monday and how they react. And it tells you a hell of a lot about players, how they react to bad situations and who you need by your side and going into battle with. And it'll be very interesting Monday night, how the guys perform and who steps up to the plate.
That was all about the reaction, folks. And Kevin, we've been travelling this last 10 or 12 years together in the same car, and we've come away with some absolute scalpings down there at Anshakur. You know, it's a really difficult venue. You know, it's a tighter pitch. No fans on top of you this day. But they've good players on there, Kevin. You know, the likes of Dara Markey and Rory Feely, even Jamie Lennon. And then Adam, now Georgie Kelly will be available. And Robbie Benson's on there. Stephen O'Donnell knows what he's doing, doesn't he?
Certainly does. And Benson's, you know, Benson playing Derry, always seem to score for Dundalk against Derry. He just, like, a ghost. He just runs on. Nobody's picking up. He did exactly that on Friday night against Dundalk, his old club, getting the equaliser a minute after Dundalk took the lead. Ghost none. Lovely finish. Lovely passing move. Cross on there. He was 10 yards out. Side foot volley, one each. And you're right. You add in Georgie Kelly and then mix the gap now. And I just heard a buddy, an interview with Georgie, just was out there today in a walk listening to a podcast, and Georgie was just talking about he hasn't played two games consecutively in 18 months. So he's telling us, and Pats fans, you know, hold back, you know, don't be expecting too much. It's going to take me a while to get going. Well, as far as Derry's concerned, they hope it does take a while to get going. Derry don't want him to be starting tomorrow night or rattling in goals or doing anything. They know themselves the quality of Georgie Kelly, because at the end of the day, Deckham is busting the gut. They try and bring him to the Brandywell on numerous occasions over the last couple of years. Just didn't work out. St. Pat's and Stevie et al. Has a relationship with Georgie, so you can see why he went and got him. I think it'd be a great addition for them. I just hope he doesn't start tomorrow night to be that great addition.
Well, it does indeed. Let's hope Georgie Kelly doesn't hit form, because he scored once or twice against Derry in the past. But anyway, that's all up in the air at the moment. What we're going to do now is we're going to listen to our man James O'Toole, who was a guest on the show on Friday night. He does his roundup around the rest of the games around the SSE Airtricity League. So James is going to give you his thoughts on what else is happening out there.
Well, after 146 days, the League of Ireland is back. Slightly stranger than normal. No crowds behind closed doors and some pumped-in atmosphere for Watch LOI. It was the first time the League of Ireland has gone full streaming, and to tell you the truth, it seems to have been such a success. The first game of that, obviously, was the game in the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium between Derry City and Sligo Rovers. You guys have already spoken about that, but for my two cents, Ronan Coughlin was very, very good. Derry City were very, very poor, and Sligo Rovers deserved their 2-0 victory. The next game on Friday evening saw Dundalk host St. Patrick's Athletic at Oriel Park, a very sombre Oriel Park indeed. Having seen the passing of Harry Taff in the week before leading up to this event, it took Dundalk 23 minutes to get on the score sheet, and that was Pat Hoban. Who else to put them ahead? But literally a minute later, Robbie Benson, the returning Dundalk man, scored the equaliser for St. Pat's. All round, a very, very impressive game by St. Pat's, with Gibson and Hunt in the midfield impressing most. And in fairness, it was a point they well deserved. Saturday's action started at Talca Park as Shelbourne welcomed Waterford to town. John Sheridan was in the dugout for the first time for the Blues, and John Martin scored the only goal 15 minutes in what was kind of a poor game, to tell you the truth. Not many chances on goal, but Sheridan would be more than happy with his first 3 points as the Waterford gaffer. And then it was over to Talla Stadium as Shamrock Rovers welcomed Finn Harps to Talla. And they started as they finished, to tell you the truth. 3 goals in the first half from Jack Byrne, Dylan Watts and Aaron McAniff, and a Carlo Sullivan goal for Finn Harps. And that was the way the game finished. 3-1 at Talla, and no more than the runaway leaders deserve. 5 points clear they are now, and it's going to take a slip up for them and a good run of form from Dundalk to catch them. And the truth be told, this could well be Shamrock Rovers' year on the top. The weekend was signed off in Turner's Cross as Cork City welcomed Bohemians to town. A 4th-minute goal from Andre White was enough for Keith Longside to gain all 3 points and keep their position third in the table going into this week's set of fixtures. That's enough for me tonight, and it's over to the Match Night Live commentary team.
Good man yourself, James. Thanks very much indeed. Always with it, as usual. What I usually do then after that is I usually do Ref Watch, and the man in the middle for the St. Pat's Derry game is Rob Hennessy, 29-year-old school teacher from County Clare, way down there. He's one of the youngest referees to hit Category 2 on the FIFA list, so he's absolutely flying in refereeing terms. I know certain fans who don't understand or don't like the role of the referee, but in terms of refereeing, he's absolutely flying. This will be his fourth game of the season. And in the previous three, he's handed out 17 yellows and one red. And he's already refereed Derry this season in the 1-1 home draw over Fun Harps. And in that game, he cautioned two Derry players, Jamie McDonough, who has now departed, and Ali Gilchrist, who took a knock on Friday night on his calf, I think. He had a dead leg, so that could be sore. Let's hope he's recovered for the game against St Pat's. Gareth, the last time we done this with yourself as a guest, we were live in the Ryan McBride Brandywell, and it was the Bows game, and Derry ended up winning that 2-0. But on that night, I remember we were talking about Jamie McDonough, and you were saying he was one of the best right wingers with a great delivery. That's all gone. I know they brought in firepower to cover that, but it's a loss for Derry, isn't it? Jamie gone.
Look, it is a loss. I would all back up everything I said that night. I think his delivery and his ability from not only dead balls but open play, it was very good. But listen, he's gone. He's not up for the fight. He can't do us any favours now. It's all about the guys coming in, but also the guys stepping up. I was fortunate enough to play against a 19s Derry team there about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I tell you what, I was very, very impressed with the young boys coming through. There's a couple of centre midfielders. There was a wee guy in the right wing. There's about five or six that I believe, and again, I only saw them for 90 minutes, that are challenging or ready to go on the first team. So I would be focused more on that. I don't know enough about the guys coming in, so I don't know who's going to be a direct replacement, whether it's Adam Hamill. I know a little bit about him, good player. If he can come in, get his fitness up to speed quite quickly, he'll be more than enough of a replacement, you know. But I think Derry's a stage now where it's not going to be one or two players. It's going to be a collective unit, and it's going to be a collective thing that how many points to pick up between now and the end of the season. I don't think they can rely on one, two, three players. I think goals have got to come now. They've got to be evenly distributed from the defenders right through the midfield and up the top as well. They need to start scoring goals from all angles and becoming more of a threat, as Kevy said, going forward, but from all over the pitch.
Well, Kevin, we often discuss this, and I know because of the social media platforms that's out there now, everybody's a supporter or a critic, or they can go on the panic mode when they see results not in Derry City's favour. You know, what they're forgetting is Stephen Mallon wasn't on form the other night, but when he is on form, and Walter Figuera is on form, Conor McCormick, Owen Toole, Peter Cherry's a good, solid pro. You know, Derry do have a decent... They have a decent nucleus there, the springboard from, and all these new signings, as you said earlier, might get in around it. And so it's not all doom and gloom for Derry at the moment, just based on the results, because there is hope there.
Well, there is certainly. It is only one game, so everybody needs to sort of pull the handbrake, so to speak. You know, one match, and look at the situation then on Monday night, and then look at the situation then against Shamrock Rovers. There's big game coming up. But as Gareth alluded to earlier too, you know, at the end of the day, because it's 13 games, it's a sprint to the finish now. So there's going to be no games that are, you know, dead rubbers. We're going to be there fighting for the title, fighting for Europe, fighting to avoid the drop. Everybody's got someone they play for. Results this weekend has proven that. Shamrock Rovers, the only home team that's won. Everybody else, the away teams, they haven't won. They've either picked up a point on Dock, and everybody else has lost, the home team. So it just tells you that sometimes home advantage, but you're right, Derry do have the quality, they do have the players there that can harm teams when they're on their day. Stevie Mallon was sensational prior to the break, tore Bohemians apart. Then they done well, got the goal down at Waterford, and then everything went pear-shaped, and they haven't kicked the ball, and he came back. And in fairness to him the other night, first 10 or 15 minutes, he was Derry's best player, best outlet given it to him. But then, like the team, he just faded out of it. But yes, they have enough talent there, but it's just getting that all, if they are from the earlier, all sort of prime together and going together as one unit, both defensively and on attacking third, and that's what Derry need to do from tomorrow night on.
Well, just to touch back on what you had said there, Gareth, you know, on Friday night, Patrick Ferry come on for Derry City, 17, 18-year-old, you know. Jack Malone's making regular starts and coming off the benches. It's fair to say that Declan, fans look at instant results and what's around the team right now, and they want to win, understandably. But as the manager and the coaching staff, they look around at the underage and they look at the next 5 years, maybe of what's coming through the crop of talent that's emerging, and they know what they're dealing with and they know what's about. It's just a matter of getting these people experience. But Derry City is certainly a team with history of blood and young talent.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and again, go back to that game. I had a chat with Declan on that, and he said he was confident. He was like a man that understood exactly what he had at his disposal. Listening to him speak about the kids coming through, he was excited. It's as if he wanted the guys who are 16, 17, 18 to be 20, 21 now. You know what I mean? If they were that age and it was that crop of players, he'd be more than confident of not signing anyone and just throwing them all in. So you could see the confidence he has. And I'm always an advocate for, if you're good enough at 16, 17, 18, you can play. This thing about trying to protect them as best we can, yes, you protect them, but you give them a taste for it. You give them that wee bit of cherry that they deserve for working hard, and then you find out how they react. So I'm not that worried. Obviously, you need a nice mixture. You need to bring on a couple of players, maybe three or four, which Steggy's done, and then mix that in with the young guys. Having a good young squad, I think, is the way forward, but you do need three or four experienced guys just to kind of have a bit of reassurance in the dressing room and on the pitch as well at times.
Well, it is all about hunger and desire. And I mean, I've officiated the under-19s, and they show it all across the pitch that they're out there to be seen, and they want to show what talent they have, and they want to bring it to the Derry City crowd, although not at this moment in time. But saying about all that, Kevin, James Akintunde is available to play against St Pat's. A couple of seasons ago, he had 11 goals for Chester, and a bit of an unknown quality. I haven't seen much YouTube footage or any other footage, but you know, after Friday night's debacle, surely he's got a feature on there somewhere, you would think.
Well, if he's fit and able and ready to go, I think he will. Derry lacked up front. I'm not saying he's a striker, but just another body up there. You can strengthen it up and change it maybe up front. And that has been a problem, there's no doubt about it. Even, you know, a Barry McNamee who they lost was a wee bit of creativity. They play the ball forward, and there's too many sort of players in the midfield at the minute that have been playing sideways or back at set, playing it forward. Bruno can do that. Friday night he didn't do it, but as I say, I think Declan's right. Put Friday night, it's gone, move on, go to some Pats and just keep thinking ahead. So you're hoping now these boys in midfield can start putting their ball forward, and the strikers, and the Malin, and the Walter, and just pick up the second ball and try and squeeze up the pitch further. But there is enough quality. And you're right, I think James Akintunde could definitely, if he doesn't start, he'd certainly come off the bench. I'd be shocked if he didn't.
All right, folks. What I used to do in the past was I used to go and tell you about a game from the past and the history and the archives. I've changed it this season to players, and I've picked out Pascal Van de Quin for Derry, who featured in 241 games for the County Stripes, 173 of them in the league. He scored 14 goals in total, 6 in the league over 7 seasons. And his debut was in the Brandywell against Finn Harps on the 23rd of August, 1987. City won 2-1 with goals from Owen De Gama and Alex Christie. What would you want to put out now for them two to be back off front for Derry? And a referee colleague and a friend of mine, Colm McLaughlin, scored for the Harps. So, and in that same game, Paul Higgerty, Paul Dixon and Felix Healy made their debut for Derry. And you know, Pascal went on to play all them times for Derry, where he started, out of the 241 games, he started 236 times with a substitute appearance 5 times. That's how good he was. The original attacking right back. Forget about Trent Alexander. Forget that. We had Pascal all them years ago. And his final game was in the Brandywell against UCD in the league on the 18th of March 1996, the day after St. Patrick's Day, the adopted Irishman. He must have been sore that day. But that was Pascal, a great servant from Derry. Anyway, it's back to the game against St. Pat's. Difficult journey down the Inchicore. Can Derry get a point or all three? It's a difficult tie. I've got guests, Gareth McGlynn and Kevin McLaughlin, talking about it all. And before we wrap it up, fellas, you know, it's 1-1-5 in the league, Kevin, by Derry City standards. But we're talking from fans' perspective. That's not good enough because three of the games were at home and they've no wins at the Brandymill.
It's not even just a fans' perspective. As I said earlier, it's Declan Devine's perspective. It's not good enough for Derry City Football Club. There's no denying it. 4 points out of 15 isn't good enough. Declan knows that. The players certainly know that after Friday night. They know themselves. They come off dejected. While we weren't doing any interviews after the game with the players, they were, you could see them just not just disappointed, but fuming with themselves because they know themselves they didn't play well. They don't need me or you or Jar or anybody that are fans to tell. They know themselves they didn't play well. Because of that, I'm definitely expecting a reaction. You have to get a reaction, as Jarf alluded earlier. If there isn't a reaction, then that's when you honestly think there's a wee panic button possibly need to be looked at. Because now, tomorrow night, as a reaction game, you want the players to come out, give their all, and change their approach. And I think that will happen, to be brutally honest. I think that's what they will get. Just well, a wee change point there, too. Gavin, like they pointed out, I've been watching the watch LOI League of Ireland feature on the streaming. I know our colleague James O'Toole involved with it. I think it's been a fantastic addition. It's been superb. The games, the quality, the commentary, everything's been there. And for people, they, yes, it's not what you want. You want to get the games, and we know that. But the fans certainly have been treated to a great offer on Watch LOI. It's been fantastic. I have to admit, it's been really, really good.
Well, we're going to get you to host a show because that was my next question. Thank you. But brilliant, you know. So I think Kevin answered for you, Gareth. It's brilliant, the LOI thing. So blah blah blah. Yes, we got that. So well, it is time to wrap up the show because time does fly by. As I said to the listeners earlier on, we actually do this and it's recorded on Zoom, socially distanced and all, by miles actually. By actual miles, we're not in the same studio, so we're following all protocols for health and safety. And it's great to have you. It's good to see you again, looking well and fit and able. And always finish the show, as regular listeners will know, with a wee prediction. So I had to give it to Kevin because he hasn't stopped talking the whole show. So Kevin, fire it away because you're a wee bit off the mark on Friday night, so you've a chance to redeem yourself.
Well, it says 2-0, Freddie, and I'll give you that much. Slightly per se for the team that won 2-0, but I'm going to sit on the fence and do a Gary Ferry. I'm going for a 1-1 tomorrow night at St Pat's. I'll pick a point now and go back up the road, to be honest with you. 1-1 I'm going for.
Well, that's, I mean, I think most fans would take that at the moment. Gareth, what's your thoughts on the result?
I'm going to go for a clean sheet with a 1-0 win for Derry.
There we are, folks. A very tight 1-0 victory. Kevin McLaughlin's gone for the draw. And, well, we'll see what transpires. It's been great having you on the show, fellas, on the Zoom. Take care of yourselves. That's our guests, Kevin McLaughlin from the Derry Journal and former Derry City player Gareth McGlynn. Fellas, it's been great having you. That's your host, Dermot Liddy, signing off. And I'll catch you again when we do the preview show next. So come on, the Candy Stripes. Let's bring back the 3 points.